This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, you. Yeah, you in the cafe. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, but times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. Tell your next door neighbour, your friends, and even your dad to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
We are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, and I just had to laugh. I just saw a tweet from Ivanka Trump, who tweeted the many, many achievements of her father as president and how many jobs he'd created. Well, there's one job that they didn't create, and that was for a toilet cleaner at their house The Secret Service were not allowed to use the toilets in...
They had 6.5 toilets. Surely you'd let them use the 0.5.
What's half a toilet?
I think it's when you have like the...
Is that like a powder room?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, but hang on. I imagine, what, like a little kiddie toilet?
Maybe. Maybe it was a potty.
A potty.
Or maybe it's like a trough. Maybe they've got a urinal.
Oh, trough man could be there.
You never know.
Trough man, Trump man.
They spent 4 years taking the piss, so why wouldn't they keep on doing it?
So, yes, you are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.1. I have a feeling it's going to be one of those mornings. We're actually having some real challenges getting people online this morning. I don't know, you reckon there's something in the air, Dylan?
It does kind of look apocalyptic. We've had one text message in, whether we're the last people surviving on Earth.
We could
it's
be.
It's grey outside.
We could be.
If the world's still going and humanity's still out there, you can text us on 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
So,
Hello, Joy 94.9.
We think we've just got our special listener, our special guest.
Okay, this is Peter Grester on Joy 94.9. Macca, take it away.
Good morning, Peter. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
That's good. That's good. We were just making some jokes about Ivanka Trump's 6.5 toilets. I don't know what half a toilet looks like.
Well, very uncomfortable, I'd have thought.
Yeah, I would have thought so. You'd have to be careful.
Maybe it's only a half flush.
Yeah, only for half flushes. There we go.
I'm glad you've got to aim well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Peter, we wanted to talk about press freedom in Australia, but, what we've seen, we've seen the events in the last week, in the United States, and also... the global state of affairs with regards to press freedom, and you know that better than anyone, having spent 13 months in a very unpleasant Egyptian jail, how do we, governments really, they talk big, but they actually don't do anything about this, about press freedom, even when we've seen the Parliamentary Joint Committee acknowledge that we have a crisis around a free press in Australia. So what do governments need to do? Or do they not care about a free press?
Well, they care about it when they're forced to acknowledge it, when they're forced to speak about it. No politician is ever really going to stand up and say, I hate a free press, I think we should be censoring the press. That's not politically possible. But at the same time, no politician really likes all politicians like to be able to control the flow of information. Want to make sure that only good news gets out, positive news gets out, the kind of news that supports their own political agenda. It takes a pretty courageous politician, frankly, to both acknowledge the importance of press freedom, but also act in what might seem, at least initially, working against their own self-interest. But having said that, there are some robust press freedoms around the world. Of course, I mean, the US First Amendment is perhaps the world's most elegant protection for press freedom, for freedom of speech, freedom of association. That didn't stop Donald Trump from branding the press the enemy of the people. Of course, it didn't stop Barack Obama, who a lot of people considered to be, you know, a very liberal Democrat, a very, you know, a man that was, you know, pro-democracy, from using the Espionage Act against journalists or their sources more often than all of his predecessors combined. And remember, that law, that the Espionage Act, was passed in 1917.
Yes.
So, you know, it has a long history. Obama used it incredibly vigorously. So it's not just the usual suspects, the people that you'd expect to be at the top of the list of abusers of press freedom, like North Korea, like China, like Egypt, like Turkey. But, you know, we have places like the United States, and as you rightly pointed out, even Australia, the PJCI, the Parliamentary Joint Committee on Intelligence and Security, looked at our laws. And confirmed what we've been saying for a long time, that Australia's law is incredibly weak when it comes to press freedom.
You know, one of the things that's pretty important, Peter, is that we're all concerned about freedom of speech, and Joy as a community radio station and an independent community radio station, we're particularly sensitive to this. And, you know, to our right, to broadcast who and what we want. But we have to balance that with public interest and the requirements of our licence. Unlike a newspaper, which really isn't licensed, we're governed by, some regulations. But when I look at things like fake news, and, you know, I know that during COVID, governments have a whole lot of extra powers, but around fake news, and I think about some of the conspiracy theories that are peddled, not just here, not just in Australia, but overseas, but with particular regard to Australia, where some MPs are peddling conspiracy theories about COVID treatments on social media and getting reported in other media. Why does government, I mean, obviously it's a member of the government, but why does government allow this? It's dangerous stuff.
Look, you know, this is really where we start to get into the weeds of this. The problem is that we want governments to control bad information. We don't want fake news to undermine public confidence in or degrade public understanding of COVID and its effects. We want to make sure that everybody's working together, that we're all working good, solid, reliable information. But as you say, when you have certain politicians like Craig Kelly spouting complete rubbish, you want to say, look, that should be shut down. But what we've seen is governments in Asia, for example, the Philippines has passed a law prohibiting fake news, particularly around COVID. Now, that seems like a sensible thing to do, but we also know that the only people who become arbiters of the truth, as far as is the government. And that means that the government is therefore, in the Philippines, able to hide the extent of the disease.
Mm.
They're able to say that anything that we don't release, anything that is not official news, is therefore fake news. And so you end up crossing over into that realm of censorship and government propaganda. And this is where it becomes incredibly, incredibly vexed. There's an argument that says that we should be allowing the courts to take over. That works as long as you have an independent judiciary and you have a legal system that is solid and sound. But even then, that's not going to stop what a lot of researchers are calling information disorder. Not necessarily news that is specifically fake, but people planting questions in other people's minds about the safety of vaccines. No one's going to say that it's fake news to express concern about the safety of a vaccine, but that undermines public confidence and undermines public trust. Is a law going to be able to work in that kind of situation? I think it's far better to encourage to keep the government out of it, to encourage a professional core of trusted news providers. Certified news providers, you know, people that the journalistic equivalent, if you like, of a blue tick, that confirms that news that's coming out of these places is solid, is reliable, is dependable, is produced according to a set of professional standards that colleagues in the industry recognise. That way people know where news is coming from. It's trusted. I also think the kind of things that we're seeing with Twitter, where they're flagging suspect tweets as questionable, as disputed claims, at least making people aware that this stuff can't be trusted. I think it's dangerous to go down the line of government censorship over this stuff. I agree that it's equally dangerous to allow bad information to be circulated. But I don't think censorship is the answer. I think that is a path towards greater government control of information at a time when really what keeps democracies working is a free flow of information.
Look, I like the concept, Peter, of, you know, let's call it verified, right? The problem is, so, you know, like, you know, I'm a member of the MEAA, and most broadcasters and journalists are, and we all understand what the Journalist Code of Ethics are. And so let's assume it's a bit fraught to say, if we had, let's just say, a panel of journalists chosen, you know, perhaps by their peers, or I'm not sure how you would choose these people, that then, you know, would be able to adjudicate on whether or not this is true or not, or whether it's whatever. That in itself is fraught, because I think of a number of publishers in Australia and around the world that basically, and journalists who write absolute rubbish and lies and fake news. So, yet they would say they adhere to the Journalist Code of Ethics. So I think it's a really fraught area, isn't it? At the end of the day, Peter, it's got to be up to the consumer of that news as to whether they read it.
Okay. Of course, what I'm suggesting is not that you stop those people from writing. But as you say, if there's news, I also think that we ought to be thinking not so much of whether you work, whether you're a member of the MEAA or you work for a newspaper, as to whether it should be certified or verified. I think that you ought to stand on the work. I think journalism is a process. It's a way of processing and handling information. And I think that can be verified. We can check that. It's possible to have a look at how you handle information, how you process it, whether you adhere to the codes of conduct, as you said, professional standards, whether you have a complaints process that exposes your information or your news to public criticism, public complaints. All of those things are part of what I'd consider to be the process of journalism.
Yes.
And I'm not particularly bothered by whether you're a member of the MEAA or not.
No, I just use that as an example. Yeah.
I think as long as you adhere to that process, you're able to show the process and show that your work is up to standard, then I think you deserve verification as a journalist, or your work deserves to be verified as journalism. That's not to stop others from publishing.
Of course not.
Anyone's free to publish. I mean, I'm not saying that you can't. I'm just saying that what you want is a core of verified journalism that the public is able to read and recognise and know that what they're reading has been through a process that is up to a certain standard recognised by journalist peers.
Yeah.
And I think that's a move towards creating a core of trusted news and information that we don't have at the moment.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Peter, we're out of time. Look, you might care to stay, you know, to stay listening if you wish. We're going to be speaking in a moment with Josh Burns. He's the Labor MP for McNamara in Melbourne, and followed by Tim Wilson, the Liberal MP for Goldstein. I'm sure there's going to be some different views there, so you can always listen on your phone via the Joy app if you don't have it downloaded. There's an opportunity to give it a plug.
Thank you very much. I'll make sure I do that.
But thank you, Peter, and we hope to speak to you again soon. You know, your defence of journalism and a free press and an honest press is really, really important, so I thank you for that.
Thank you very much, and give some regards to Tim Wilson too.
I will. Thanks, Peter.
Okay, take care.
Cheers. Bye.
You've been listening to Saturday Magazine on Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.